Bienvenidos a la presentación.
Welcome to the presentation of the results of CIE Automotive. Lorea Aristizabal, Director for Corporate Development of the CIE Group, will be in charge of giving this presentation. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. You will be able to ask your question via your phone by dialing 01 at any time during the presentation. I'll now hand over to Ms. Aristizabal. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for attending our conference on the results for the third quarter. If it's agreeable, we'll follow the order of the presentation published this morning, and we'll start by reviewing the automotive division, continue with Dominion, and end up with the earnings in consolidated balance sheet for the group. Talking about automotive and its sales, they have grown 30% compared to the same period last year. We're talking about a 1.7% increase because of the exchange rate, almost 13% due to the integrations, and a pure organic growth of almost 16%. An organic growth that we have achieved in a market that globally has grown 3%. And an organic growth backed by the growth of CIE that beats the market in each and every area in which we're present. We're going to quickly review the geographic areas, talking about market developments and CIE sales and margins. Starting with the NAFTA market, a drop in production has been seen in the first 9 months of 4%. And this has been pulled down by the drops in Canada. And this drop is speeding up. It has already dropped 7%. And the United States, which has also dropped 8%. These two countries face a major growth in Mexico, 14% in these first 9 months. It is expected that these trends will continue to be similar in the last quarter, so that 2017 will represent a drop in NAFTA productions of approximately a minus 4%. And this market will go from 17.8 million vehicles produced in 2016 to around 17.2 million produced in 2017. Meanwhile, we have CIE with an organic growth in the NAFTA region of 17%, which in turn is the result of a certain fall in our activity in the United States, more than offset by our major growth in Mexico. Regarding profitability in NAFTA, an 18% EBIT margin in the third quarter, very similar to the second quarter, slightly lower than the same period in 2016. This can be easily explained by the inclusion in April, we have to remember, of the new core income statement with its dilution effect on the margin. If we talk about Europe, we're talking about a mature market, but it's still providing good news, with a production growth of more than 2% in the first 9 months. A strong last quarter is expected, reaching 22.1 million vehicles produced in 2017, compared to the 21.4 million produced last year. CIE in Europe, an organic growth of 10%, thanks to the high level of new projects, a strong organic growth that extends to both the perimeter of the traditional Europe as well as to the Mahindra CIE Europe. That's the great news. Profitability, on the one hand, the traditional Europe, which is in a flurry of industrializations and in spite of the seasonal nature of this quarter, has remained close to 11% EBIT margin, and a Mahindra CIE in Europe that has finally recovered operating normality, and more important than that, it has recovered the trust of the customers. We are offsetting the seasonal effect with part of the projects, and with an 8.5% EBIT margin, we are improving the profitability compared to the same period last year. In Brazil, we have a market with a production increase of plus 28% in the first 9 months. We thought that this could slow down in the second half of the year, but it is still very strong. 2017, without a doubt, will be the first year to recover part of the lost market. But a very significant part of that market, it is estimated that the year will finish up with a production of 2.6 million vehicles versus the 2.1 million produced in 2016, which would return Brazil to the eighth position in the ranking of world producers. In this framework, CIE, with an organic growth of more than 36%, thanks to the trust of our customers, which can continue to assign new projects to us, and we continue to increase our market share over there quarter by quarter. Margins continue with the expected operating leverage, and we're close to an 11% EBIT margin, which on the one hand represents a very significant improvement compared to 2016, as well as the fact that the strategic objective of 10% has been exceeded. In India, we have a market with a production increase of 7% in the first 9 months, which continues to prove that it is solid, and it is expected to finish along these lines at the end of the year, exceeding the 4.2 million vehicles produced last year. It's expected that this year 4.5 million vehicles will be produced. In this way, India would pass Korea as a producer and would be consolidated as the fourth world producer, only behind China, United States and Germany. CIE in India has had an organic growth of 19%, more than doubling the market, thanks to the new projects both of our main customers, Mahindra, Tata and Maruti Suzuki, as well as from Western customers. Finally, China and its market, a production increase of 3% in the semester. A very strong quarter isn't expected at the end of the year, and the estimate is that the year will finish with a production of 27.6 million vehicles, reinforcing its position as the first world market. In this context, CIE has an organic growth of almost 27%, much higher than the market, thanks to the development of our main project over there, the Nanjing Forge. In the profitability of Asia overall, China plus India, as promised, there has been another leap this quarter in margins, which enables to maintain levels of approximately a 99% EBIT margin, and we're very optimistic regarding the compliance with the strategic objective of 10%. When we talk about automotive, on the one hand, we're talking about growing more than the organic performance in the various markets, as well as generalizing the margins compared to the previous year, with a current EBIT margin of 12% compared to 11.3% at the same time of the year in 2016. We'll briefly comment on Dominion. To match public data, when we talk about Dominion, we'll be talking about the adjusted revenue, that is the net turnover or sales for the sale of terminals in the commercial service business, which we have included from the beginning in the perimeter of the phone house. And the reason for this adjustment is that it is a non-margin sale associated to the sale of services, which is the true business of Dominion. The adjusted business volume of Dominion has grown 23% compared to the same period last year, with a Forex which was positive by 0.4%, and with the same perimeter and a constant currency, organic growth has been 8%. Again, we exceed growth in the sector and the strategic objective for organic growth at Dominion of 7%. The rest is inorganic growth from acquisitions in 2016 and from the inclusion in the perimeter of the phone house after the regulatory approval last August 29th and the final closing of the transaction. We are including in the income statement for the third quarter 1 month of the phone house activity. Profitability levels. We already mentioned in previous quarters the dilution effect of the acquisitions made in 2016, but we also undertook to gradually improve the margins as 2017 went by, and this has been the case. We can see that positive development if we sequentially compare the data from the third quarter with the first two quarters. With this growth of 23% in adjusted sales, we're growing approximately 16% in the rest of the key indicators in the income statement, including EBITDA, EBITA, and net profit. The breakdown between our two business segments continues at very similar levels to last year's, with services carrying a weight of 61% with a contribution margin of 8.6%, and the weight carried by solutions is 39% with a contribution margin of 15.5%. Regarding the portfolio, we're closing September with more than €495 million in the portfolios, equally distributed between our three fields of activity. For more details on Dominion, please refer to the presentation of results that took place last Friday and which you can access through the rebroadcasting system. Regarding the income statement, as of September 30th, the CIE Group has a profitability close to 11% EBIT margin over sales, and as in the two previous months, we have turned 50% of the EBITDA into earnings after taxes. Earnings after taxes that represent more than 7% over sales, and which prove the most important point, the ability to recurrently generate results in our income statement. Regarding the group's balance sheet, I'd like to remind you that how at the closing of 2016 we had €816 million in net financial debt. That represented a ratio of net financial debt over EBITDA of 1.86 times. As of June 30th, we had €887 million in debt, which represented a ratio of 1.79 times the annual EBITDA, and is exactly the same debt level we have now as of September 30th with €930 million in debt. In the summarized cash flow in the presentation, you can easily understand how debt has evolved, and we'll review it. We started with a generated EBITDA in these 9 months of €399 million, turning €202 million into operating cash, 51% of the EBITDA, very much in line with our strategic objective for operating cash flow. And this cash and some additional debt has been dedicated to three concepts: dividends, M&A, and organic growth. The dividend, €54 million have been paid in the year between the interim dividend and the final dividend, one in January and the other in July. Regarding M&A, and perhaps this is the most important part, I'd like to remind you that so far this year we've paid a total of €197 million, €54 million of which have been paid in the third quarter, and all these payments in the third quarter are for Dominion. And the M&A paid this year for automotive, €137 million have been paid. On the one hand, we have the purchase of the additional 34.9% of the Brazilian subsidiary CIE Durametal for €6 million in February. The total price for the purchase of Nucor, €101 million in March. The only payment pending for Amaya Telleria, €30 million, was paid in April. So today, it's important to remind this, in automotive, there are no pending earnouts. M&A in Dominion, so far this year, €60 million have been paid. An earnout pending for ICC of €6 million in February. The only payment pending for the purchase price for Beroa, €16 million in July. Two-thirds of the purchase price for the phone house, €38 million in September. So that as of September 30th at Dominion, there are €58 million earnouts pending for the acquisitions in 2016 and 2017. The third destination after dividends and M&A, I said, was CapEx, our growth. And after a second quarter which was much more intense in investments, as a result of the schedule for the new projects that are currently going through the investment phase, the third quarter has gone back to levels similar to those of the first quarter, with a figure of around €60 million. And we're coming to the end. We repeat our commitment another quarter with the objectives published in the strategic plan. At the end of 2016, a year ago, we carried out the first review of a five-year strategic plan, what we then called the 1+4, the conclusions of which we shared with the market at the beginning of the year. And 1 year later, right now, we are going through the process of reviewing the 2+3 of the strategic plan, and we can tell you that we believe that this once again will bring very good news. We highlight the high growth rates, especially profitable growth, and extended to all the geographic areas in which we operate. And once again, we emphasize the soundness of our business model, even in an environment of growing complexity. Even so, we feel perfectly positioned to face all the sector's challenges. Thank you very much for your time, for listening, and we move on to any possible questions. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your keyboard. To ensure sound quality, we recommend you use a landline for your questions. Thank you. The first question is from Juan Canovas from Fidentiis. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon, Lorea. I have a couple of questions. The first is, could you tell us something more about Brazil? Brazil is doing fabulously well. You've exceeded your margin objective for the end of the strategic plan. What can we expect from Brazil? Do you think there's still potential to improve margins? And I would also like to ask, well, you mentioned that you continue bringing in projects. I don't know whether you could shed some light on this, whether you could give us any details on what this is exactly. These are my two main questions. Hello, Juan. Good afternoon. Well, I think that we have to contextualize what our forecasts were for Brazil and what the Brazil of today is to understand why we brought forward our strategic commitment with regard to margins. We have to remember that when we launched the strategic plan was initially developed at the end of 2015, and at that time the visibility of the Brazilian market was nil. We had no clear idea of when the crisis could be over and when the trend could change. And in the strategic plan, we were so cautious that we expected a very slow market recovery. We knew that it was coming, but it would come very slowly. And we thought that the 2.5 million vehicles could come in 2020. At the conference, I explained how if this final quarter goes as expected and everything is met, we're going to exceed that figure in 2017. It's important to understand, on the one hand, how that market has developed. And regarding margins, we did our homework during the crisis. We did our homework, and the companies had lean and very much reduced cost, so that when the volumes returned, whenever that might be, because we didn't have the faintest idea, what we would then have on the table would be operating leverage. This is what you're going to say. So in reply to your specific question, do you continue to receive the support from your customers, and are you still receiving new projects? Yes. We're working on a lot of industrializations at the same time. We have a lot of work in Brazil, and you're going to see this work. And you were also asking, are you going to continue to evolve in margins? Without a doubt, they go hand in hand. That growing top line we're having because of the market and the new projects, because we don't just go to the market, you can see that we're much stronger than the market, and we're picking up market share, and this is being felt in the operating leverage. So yes to more top line, yes to more growth than the market, and yes to the possibility of continuing to improve margins in the coming quarters if volumes continue along these lines. Thank you. And I wanted to ask about new projects, whether you can tell us something about what you're achieving. Well, it's a market where, as you know, unlike the European market, it's a market where Tier 1 is less developed. We're winning projects with OEMs. We've been working there for a long time. We have Volkswagen, we have Fiat, we have Honda as the Asian customer. And with customers with whom we've worked in the past, with whom we feel comfortable. And that's what we're doing, Han. There's not much new to tell. I couldn't tell you about major new customers because they're traditional customers that are strong in that market and with whom we've been working for years. It's new projects with the usual customers. The new projects, could you quantify whether they've had a negative impact on margins in general? No, quite the opposite, not at all. I believe that this is the perfect moment to use the fact that the customer has to come to us because they've lost many suppliers along the way to make sure that the prices and therefore the profitability related to new products will in no way be worse. I think that we're exactly in the opposite situation. Thank you. Thank you very much. The next question is from Ignacio Arizmendibil from JB Capital Market. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon, Lorde. I have three questions. The first is, well, in Mahindra Europe, you've grown 10% in the quarter. So I believe that part of this is due to the recovered trust and old recovered customers. So what part is organic growth and what part is a result of this? And finally, what can we expect for the fourth quarter to end the year? And whether regarding corporate movements, whether you can give us some insight into geographic areas, what you're looking for, what size, what segment, etc. Thank you. Thank you, Ignacio. Regarding the first question on Mahindra CIE, we always talk about the seasonal effect of the third and fourth quarters compared to the first and the second, and how this third quarter has a strong seasonal effect because of the month of August, particularly in Europe. If you've looked at the evolution we've had in the traditional Europe in the last few years, you'll see how the drop in sales in the first and second quarter, and comparing that to the third quarter, that drop is significant, 15%. You haven't seen that drop in the third quarter for Mahindra CIE in Europe. Comparatively or sequentially, if you compare the sales of the second quarter with the third, for example, there isn't such a drop. The reason is that we're growing, and that growth has helped us to offset part of the seasonal effect, and a growth that I would say we're receiving better than in many parts of the world, because it's the area where we've suffered most from the commercial point of view in the last year, where we foresaw that all our arrows in the closing of Yeko at the end of last year would be a heavy cost with our customers, and our customers are showing more confidence in us than we could initially assume. So, as I said, we're being received with open arms, and that recovery of the customers' trust is very good news. A couple of weeks ago, for example, we closed a global agreement with Daimler, our biggest customer over there, and this agreement brought very good news, not just because of not losing projects, but reviewing certain prices, projects, volumes, etc. So we're very pleased with this issue of customer trust or customer confidence in Mahindra CIE Europe. You were asking about the fourth quarter. Well, I think that the fourth quarter, I'm not going to give you a great answer, but there aren't going to be many surprises. Of course, we don't see any negative surprises at this point, and positive surprises. Well, I think that the positive aspect is the trend you're seeing quarter from to quarter. Thinking about a Brazil, where you're seeing margins that are improving, a NAFTA with incredible and sustained margins. Mahindra CI Europe with great news, and India and China, region of Asia, where quarter by quarter you're seeing leaps in margins. So I think you're going to see a quarter with a gradual improvement, as you've seen in previous quarters, and I think that 2017 is going to be an excellent year. And finally, corporate operations. If you're referring to M&A issues, they're still on the table. That strong generation we mentioned that is deleveraging the balance sheet is going to give us some more fresh air to face them in the future. With that 1.8%, if I am not miscalculating, we'd have over 100 million to reach the 2x financial debt EBITDA, which is our self-imposed ratio. But if we continue to generate some more quarters, that possible money to be used on M&A will continue to increase because of our high generating capacity. So M&A's around the quarter. Well, we're certainly analysing a lot of alternatives, and there are possibilities that 2018 will bring M&A. Quarter around 60, and the final quarter will be similar. Thank you. Thank you very much. The next question is from Robert Jackson from Banco Santander. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon, Lorde. Just a question about Russia. Can you tell us something, since in recent months there's been positive news from that market. What can you tell us about your position there? Thank you, Robert. Well, it's true that Russia, for people that are less acquainted with it, Russia in 2012 had over 20 million vehicles produced. After that, with all the crisis we all know about, that started to shrink. And the lowest point, we all believe, was reached in 2016, when it produced slightly over 1.2 million vehicles. This year, we're seeing growth. We're seeing a Russia where significant growth is expected. The latest estimates we have on the table say that Russia will be around 1.4 million vehicles, and maybe more. This is a significant increase. And from there, for next year and following years, in all cases, we're talking about significant positive growth. The 2 million vehicles they used to produce isn't seen short-term. Perhaps we're talking about 2022, 23. But unlike the previous 4 years, we are seeing a positive trend on the market. In that market, you know that the big winner, the big market share is in the hands of the triad, Renault, Nissan and Autobus, which is the local company. And you know that our Russia plant is focused on aluminium engine parts for those three OEMs, for Autobus, Nissan and Renault. So in a complex situation, it seems that the worst is over. And even in that worst situation, we've always been accompanied by those that were in the best situation in the market. So I don't want to sound too positive, but it's true that after 4 years of negative news and drops, it's the first year with a sign of recovery, so we're pleased. And is that going to have a significant effect on your figures? As the market goes up, our volumes will increase. So it will start to be more significant, yes, yes, without a doubt. Not to signify a major investment, we have sufficient investment to cover the volume, but we'll start to have a Russia that is running somewhat late compared to what we expected with this crisis, but it's starting to be more powerful, yes. Is it a market you're looking at for M&A, or is it too risky, and what you have with Renault is enough? Not too much, Robert. The size of the market, until it recovers that figure of 2 million, is a relatively small market. It's a 1.2 or 1.4 million vehicle market. We have other markets on the table that are producing much more, and you know that in the end, volume is important. So I'm not going to say that it's the only variable when it comes to deciding where we invest on M&A, but it's certainly an important variable. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we remind you once again that if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your phones now. Thank you. The next question is from Manuel Cuello from Kaiser VPI. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first regarding the last quarter. Do you have an idea of how you could end up the year in terms of organic growth in your auto division, in sales, I mean? And then if I understood it properly, you were saying that you see room to increase your midterm objectives. Without trying to step ahead of your announcements, can you tell us whether that will be more on the sales side, on the side of profitability and margins, or do you prefer not to say much more for the time being? Thank you. Manuel, regarding organic growth in the fourth quarter, I think that you've already seen three quarters with strong double-digit growth. Strong double-digit growth. And my best guidance is that you'll see something similar. In other words, the double digits will be there in the last quarter. The whole year will end up with a significant growth. And we're going to continue the trend you've been seeing in the last three quarters this year. Regarding the strategic objectives, as you say, I'm not going to step ahead too much. But I think that good news will be coming from different places. When I say from different places, I mean, first of all, growth may make us a little bit happier, especially in some areas. On the other hand, we have the issue of margins and working to improve margins that were far from the standards and which are improving for various reasons. We have the issue of the inclusions, especially the latest one, New Car, which can still improve its margins. So I think it's going to be a very good mix of news regarding growth in revenues and margins. And we'll see what the new guidance or the new review is, which, like last year, once it's been looked at in-house, we'll share with the market. I think that the coming news, and before the publication of the results for the fourth quarter, and as many of you know, we have an analyst day planned for the end of November, where we expect to review many issues, and we'll see then what news we can publish. Okay, thank you. And excuse me for emphasizing or insisting on organic growth in the last quarter. Will it be higher or lower than the organic growth in the third quarter? I think you must have a view on that. Manuel, how about if we say that it's going to be a double digit, middle double digits, and we'll see what happens later without being too specific right now. Okay, fine, thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We remind you once again, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your keypad. Thank you. There are no further questions at today's conference, so I'll give the floor back to Ms. Aristizabal. Thank you. Well, thank you all very much for your time, and we're at your disposal for any further clarifications. Goodbye.